is with Mannix and Mannix is back. The New England Revolution have only one more match left before the two-month-long break in the schedule for the 2026 World Cup. And the Revs are in Charlotte to face Charlotte FC this weekend. Here to preview that and talk about the Revs' last match and everything else going on the pitch is their broadcast voice, Brad Feldman. Brad, welcome back for another week, man. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Jeff. Good to talk to you, man.
Yes, great to talk to you here as well. And, of course, this time last week, the Revs were licking their wounds from that 3-0 defeat against Nashville SC that ruined the six-match home winning streak to start the season. But they got right back on the horse on Saturday against Minnesota United and picked up another big 3 points. What can you tell us about the match?
Yeah, I think the bounce back speaks to the mentality of this side under Marko Mitrovic right now. Without making any excuses, Mitrovic, I think, framed the loss to Nashville well insofar as he said, even though it was both were three-goal losses, the 4-1 win on opening night back in February made it look like there was a much wider gulf between the two teams than the loss a week ago Wednesday, where, you know, the Revs could have scored first. If they had, then the Nashville would have had to come out more. The rare error from Matt Turner gifted them the second goal. And so, you know, I think that the way they were able to sort of put that behind them and against a good Minnesota team, but not one that was at the same level at all the positions as Nashville. Like, I think they were worthy winners. They can't, you know, Dort Turgeman was a big factor in the game after having sort of a period where he wasn't getting a lot of service, especially against Nashville. You know, for him to draw the penalty assist on the game winning goal, I think it was sort of one of the under-discussed, mm-hmm. Under-reported stories to come out of Saturday night's win. You know, Carlos Heel has been money from the penalty spot, and he's been orchestrating beautifully. Two big late Matt Turner saves again. Yep. You know, so he bounced back from that error, looked like he put it right behind him. And I think having a game just on, you know, three nights turnaround was just a tonic that the Revs needed to get back into that mindset. You know, it was unlikely they were going to go undefeated at home for the whole season. But, you know, you want momentum going into this break that you talked about, Jeff. And so I think, you know, around the field there were good stories to tell. You know, the Revs now won 8 of their last 11 games. 7-1-0 at home still looks pretty good despite the loss. And so I think that they're, you know, good side and looking really good.
Yeah, and Brad, one of those guys who's been clinically finishing lately is Luca Langone. And I got to ask, too, from your perspective, the last two games against Nashville and Philadelphia, the Revs giving up the first goal, it must have been nice to see them get on the board first and then also put up a second goal in that first half. Really fast start, it felt like, for them.
Yeah, I think they're the best in the league in coming back from losing positions, right? They have 12 points, I believe they're 4-3-0 and conceding first. So it's not like it felt like last couple of years they gave up the first goal, then they're chasing it as a lost cause. So if they hadn't scored early, every game in a low scoring sport like this has an ebb and flow. And so sometimes you say, oh wow, they scored too early. And so when Minnesota equalized, you're like, geez, you know, like back to square one. You know, we've seen the Revs come out after halftime really flying, and they seem to find another gear, which can be, you know, unsettling. But I thought they came out from the jump very well and, you know, looked to attack at home. I loved the lineup that he played against Minnesota. And so when you saw, you know, I think they really lacked Langone's speed on the outside against Nashville. And so when I saw the starting lineup with Peyton Miller at left wing, Langone at right wing, I was like, oh boy, they're going to really go at this Minnesota team on the wings. And that was very much the case. You know, Langone has scored back-to-back games because, you know, scored in the previous match against Philadelphia. He didn't was not in the lineup Wednesday. So he's in great form, and he has six assists to go with his three goals. And it's really also just his speed and his timing and his movement. You know what I mean? We just didn't see enough of it last season. He was, you know, coming off the bench and wasn't starting all the time, was out of form. There are rumors that he might be headed back to Argentina, to a team like Independiente, and maybe the Revs overspent on, there's all this stuff out there. Well, the player clearly got the message, and the coach seems to know how to deploy this asset that he has, this lightning quick guy. And by the way, vote for Luca Langone for the All-Star game. There's a good video on the Revs site with Carlos Heel making the case, but he's making the case for himself. The All-Star voting, I believe, closes tonight. So, Carlos is doing well. Peyton Miller's top five. I think Langone's top five. I know that Matt Turner is top five. I think Mamadou Fofana is criminally underrated. So there are your five guys right there, for a team, that's in the upper echelons of the Eastern Conference standings. I don't think it's unrealistic. If you're a Reds fan, you watch them, you know how these guys stack up relative to the league. But Luca Langone is fulfilling the promise that he came in build with when the Revs got him from Argentinian giants Boca Juniors. And the last thing I'll say is to sort of repeat what I said to Jeff a minute ago, which is it's really good to see him combining with Dor Turgeman. And it's happened a couple times now, where he plays off of the target man using that speed. And, Turgeman's pass for that goal is underrated. It's also clinical, a clinical finish. But, if you get those front players going like that, and, with Leo Campana just, struggling to get back to health, I think that's we're talking about good attacking play from the Revs. Without Carlos Heel involved, then teams are going to be just terrified, right? Because it's almost like a given that Carlos is going to pull the strings, and then you've got guys flying off of him, forget about
it. Yeah, and part of the reason it seems like this Revs attack is starting to do so well is the belief that Marko Mitrovic is kind of building into this side here. He's off to now the second best 13 match start in New England Revolution history, and the only one who was better is still, for my money, the GOAT of American soccer coaching in Bruce Arena. But that seems to speak to Mitrovic's ability as a soccer coach here, coming into Major League Soccer and getting what was a side that couldn't seem to get going over these last couple of years, and now with a lot of the same players, putting them back towards the top of the Eastern Conference. What can we say about Mitrovic's coaching job so far?
Well, I think you said a lot of it, but I think it's important to note that it really is very much the same complement of players plus a handful of what you would call Mitrovic guys from the U.S. men's national team player pool that he's been coaching over the last several years, at the different age levels, including, the Olympic team and the U-20s and the U-20 World Cup. Guys like Brooklyn Reigns, guys like Ethan Kohler, who nobody in New England knew about before he got here. Griffin Yao has been up and down, but he's still made some contributions. And, I think he looks better these last, few games. He struggled with some injuries that, haven't kept him off the field, but I think it slowed him a little bit. But he's done pretty well. But overall, these guys that he's, and Peyton Miller is, a Revs Academy homegrown guy, but part of that same player pool. And Mitrovic has not hesitated to use him at left wing. Everybody says, oh, if he goes to Europe, he's going to be a left fullback. He's not quite technical enough to be, a forward player. Well, he sure looks like a left winger when he's out there for the Revs right now. And Mitrovic seems to know how to put him in spots where he will succeed. And so, you take that added group of talented players and add them to a team that you have to say in the Revs was underachieving and had a bit of a gray cloud following them around you know, towards the, you know, middle end of last season, they are just re-energized. And you can see the videos on social media of his halftime talks. And then you say, okay, well, that's just, you know, sort of a motivational speech, win one for the Gipper kind of thing. But there's a lot to that, because I think what I've seen is it's not all vibes, right? Like, one of the things that you learn, or, you know, and you know, so much of what we talk about and what we're sort of conveying to fans and listeners and viewers is the vibes, the drama of sport, the, you know, the heartbreak and ecstasy around victory and all the things that soccer and sports, you know, or it's great for all that. Very few people really want to geek out on the tactic stuff and the analytics stuff. And Mitrovic doesn't want to either, but he understands all that stuff too. Most, if not all, successful modern coaches do understand that stuff, either implicitly or in a more scientific way. But what I have seen with Marco is that he is selective about, like, what numbers and what sort of formational, sort of, you know, tactical things he dwells on. He is very good at cutting out the extraneous stuff that's a waste of time, focusing on the number or the tactical principle that is more likely to lead to success. And then somehow, and this is the magic in his act, or one of the magic acts he has, because he does a lot of things that I've watched a lot of coaches now. He's got extra in a lot of departments, but he's able to, like, get that self-belief to translate into action in the moment under pressure on a repeated basis. He has a whole culture that's not just like, hey, you know, like, you're good enough, you're smart enough, doggone people like you, right? Like, he does inject that self-belief, but it's like they've got these guys watching film while they're eating lunch and hanging out and joking around. But then it's like, okay, this is when we get them to turn the ball over, we're attacking this space immediately. And you wouldn't be on this team if you weren't the guy who had the ball skills and the speed to do that successfully. And your teammates are going to be running off you, so keep your head up and slot him in. Or if that's not on, you're going there because you're the guy to do it. You know, I'm being reductive, and I'm kind of, you know, obviously a vast oversimplification. But what I'm saying is that it's not just like the halftime speech. There are diagrams and charts and video review sessions and a constant sort of, you know, like, and he gets these guys to really understand that he legitimately cares about them, so that then, I've been to some training sessions, and he gets into them. He's not just, you know, Mr. Nice Guy all the time. He coaches them hard, but they buy what he's selling because they know he's not trying to tear them down and humiliate them on a personal level. He does it because he cares, and they're all on the same mission, which is to be successful as pros and win soccer games. And so it's like, I know it sounds like, okay, that's coaching 101, you know, easier said than done. And the way he's blending the sort of, you know, both sides of the brain, you know, the sort of, and the, you know, both the blood and gut stuff with the nerdy stuff is really genius. I think we got a special guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've really enjoyed this start. I love watching the press conferences too. He's so well spoken for. Bank of America Stadium.
And you can do it in five languages. The guys are
right. It's unbelievable. It's bilingual. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it. Bank of America Stadium, that's the place, Brad, this weekend. Charlotte, New England, final match before the break. What say you, my friend, about this Charlotte team that we just saw pretty recently?
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. The Reds beat them 1-0, and it wasn't easy, right? I think that they could have gotten more, you know, goal-wise in that game. One, you know, I think if the Revs take a positive approach, if Charlotte's 1-1-1 since then, you know, they drew with Cincinnati. They're good at home, and they've drubbed both New York teams at home. And, you know, the big question for me is Tim Ream back? I saw one lineup projection that still had him as questionable, but slotted him in. And, you know, the numbers show they're a much better defensive team when he's in there, even though he's, you know, what's he, 38 years old and a little bit, you know, pokey, but he's so smart, and his leadership and positioning and toughness. So, you know, I don't think Henry Kessler's back anytime soon, but still, you know, and the Revs have Brooklyn Raines suspended. And, you know, Raines got into Wilfred Zaha's head enough that Zaha was, like, pointing at the back of the jersey, like, who are you? Well, he's the guy who helped shut you guys out. So, you know, there, remember there's that big kerfuffle over by the bench, and Zaha was being kind of a jerk. And, you know, I thought Raines played it well, but he picked up his fifth yellow card and will sit a one-game suspension. So how do the Revs manage that? You know, do you put Al-Hassan Youssef in a sort of, you know, double pivot? You know, Matt Polster, who did really well off the bench a couple times since coming back from injury, but struggled a little bit in the Nashville game starting. You know, I think he'll likely be Polster. But the guy who really shut down Wilfred Zaha was Ethan Kohler, and he's been playing great. We should also mention Youssef, who just got a call into the Nigeria national team camp. And, you know, he's like, for all-star voting, neither of those guys are going to go, but they've been big parts of the Revs' success, Kohler and Youssef. And they're going to be very important because Pep Biel is still their, you know, creator and the focal point of the Charlotte attack. A really creative player, you know, came in the offseason from Olympiakos in Greece. And so, you know, Charlotte at home, better team than I think on the road. So, you know, the Revs obviously want to close out with a positive result Saturday night. I think, you know, like, you know, a draw on the road, if you take four from six in the two games going in, I think that you'd feel pretty good about yourselves if you're the Revolution. But who knows, the way they've been going, you know, anything could happen.
New England Revolution at Charlotte FC this Saturday at 7:30. It's the final match for the Revs ahead of a two-month break for the FIFA World Cup in the MLS schedule. Brad Feldman, I must say I did not expect a Matt Foley motivational speaker reference from you, but this is part of the reason why I love you and bring you on practically every week. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk again next week to, talk about the first part of the season here, pre-World Cup break.
Sounds good, guys.
You
thanks
got
for
it.
Me.
Again, Brad Feldman, New England Revolution broadcast voice. We'll come right back to conclude hour number two on the show next. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix.